chapter number 4, book of Jonah, chapter number 4. I think most of us here this morning know the story of Jonah. God called Jonah to go and to preach to the city of Nineveh, to preach to the people. And Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah did not want to go because he did not like the people of Nineveh. It was a matter of the Ninevites being a wicked people, the Ninevites being a people that had persecuted the Jews and did wicked things, and Jonah didn't feel like they deserved the right to hear the gospel. And it was a matter of prejudice, a matter of anger. And speaking of which, my, how we should be praying for our country right now and the sad things that are going on. The fact is this: Jonah ran from God, got on a boat, headed the opposite way. Y'all know what happened. The storms began to come. The sailors tried to go on, but they realized this was no ordinary storm. This is God was behind this. So they threw Jonah overboard, Jonah's own suggestion. By the way, Jonah could have thrown himself overboard. But when you're down and you're running from God, you always play the card of the victim. And that's what Jonah was doing. He said, "You'll have to do it to me." So they did. They threw him overboard. Then, after he'd spent 3 days in the belly of that great fish, he finally got his head on straight and he repented, told God he would go and do what he wanted him to do. God made that fish vomit Jonah up. And then God, the second time, came to Jonah, and Jonah made his way to the city of Nineveh. And he goes in and he preaches. And God works a great miracle in the city of Nineveh. The whole town repents and turns. I'd throw this out there. Jonah didn't want to go because he didn't think that they deserved it. And the reality is this, that if Jonah would have just went straight there, I don't know if you ever thought about this, and walked into the city and started preaching, they probably wouldn't have listened to him. Because he was a Jew. They didn't really care for the Jews. But there's something about the city of Nineveh. They worshipped a god named Dagon, which is the fish god. When all of a sudden news got in that a fish vomited up a man who had a message from God, the whole town listened. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we think that, well, God's in charge. God knows what he's doing and even uses our failures for his glory. All things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. But the fact is, Jonah went in, the whole town does get right. And Jonah goes and he sits out on the outside of the city and he sits there in the desert overlooking the city to see if God was going to destroy it or not. When God didn't, because the city got right, Jonah started complaining. Jonah said, "I knew you'd do this, God. I knew what kind of God you were." And he starts pouting, getting angry at God, bitter, upset. Then we're going to read, and starting in chapter number 4, in verse number 1, just in respect to the Word of God, if you're physically able, let's stand and we'll read the Scriptures this morning. If not, the Lord understands it, I promise. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, 'I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of this evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.' Then said the Lord, 'Doest thou well to be angry?' So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please take the message. I pray to use it for your honor and glory. I pray that, God, you just speak to our hearts. And, Lord, if there be anyone here today that's lost, I pray today would be the day that they come to you and accept you as Savior. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd encourage the heart of the believer tonight or today, and, Lord, each and every need that we may have, that, God, you'd meet it according to your glory. Father, I pray that, Lord, if we need rebuked, if we need strengthened, if we need taught, whatever we need, that we would find it through the Spirit of God, through your word this morning. Hide me, lift up your Son, lift up your word. And Father, I pray that, Lord, your name would be exalted and praised. Put a hedge about us, please. And Lord, just remove any distractions that would come our way. The devil would love to get our minds off of things. I pray that you would captivate us this morning, that we might find and know the word of God today. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you, and please be seated. So again, he gets upset. He gets to pouting, and he says, "God, I knew you'd do this. I knew how merciful and long-suffering you are." And he goes and he pouts. And he goes and he sits there in the hot sun, and the wind starts to blow, and it's beating down upon him, and he's full of grief. You see, over and over and over again, a couple of things. When God doesn't do what he thinks should be done, when evil people aren't punished the way that he thinks they should be punished, when God seemingly let him down, he continually gets more depressed, more angry, more suicidal, and tries his best to just block God out, and gets angry. And here this prophet is sitting there pouting, and God brings up this gourd, this plant that grows, and it gives him a shadow, and he's able to sit under this plant. And understand, we think a plant grows, gives him shade, that's great. It happened in overnight. I know some plants can grow pretty quick, but you're not going to get a good shade out of a plant overnight. That was a miracle of God. All of a sudden, this plant grows, and he's able to sit under it. And he is so happy for this gourd. But then, that next night, God sends a worm, and when he wakes up the next day, the plant is dead, and he's more mad than he was before. He starts talking very loosely to God. God tries to correct him, and he gets to be a smart aleck with God. He starts talking back and getting angry. And then God uses this to give us a lesson. And I want us to think just on a couple of things this morning. Number one, just follow along with me. Number one, you see pity on a prophet. Pity on a prophet. See, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, Jonah's angry. He's mad. He's sitting there. He's bitter. He's getting very loose with his tongue. He's thinking about his own life. He just wants to die. And he's even putting himself in a position to die. If you sit out there in the desert under the hot, blazing sun, and you just sit there and you're doing nothing about it, and the wind is blowing against you, he said, "I'm fine with dying. Let this be my end." But here is a bitter, angry, suicidal man. And what does God do? He has pity on him. And he sends a plant to grow and to give shade to the prophet of God. God did it to deliver Jonah from his grief. Now, why would God do this? I mean, here is an angry, bitter person who's mad at God, sitting there, and God brings up and brings this gourd for one reason: to give him some relief from the heat. God shows pity on this prophet. Now, why did he do that? Now, you can get into some deep discussions, but I'll keep it simple this morning. He did it because he loved him. He did it because he loved him. And he did it, I think, a second reason, because he wanted to lead him back to the right path. He did it so that Jonah would realize that he loved him, and maybe it'd stir in Jonah's heart, man, God does watch over me, he's going to take care of me, but it didn't. He still got angry at God. And we look at the prophet of God this morning, we may, you know, think, well, you know, shame on Jonah, what a wicked guy. Yet there are just countless Christians today doing the same thing to God. We've allowed bitterness and anger in our life. We've allowed circumstances. And when God hasn't done what we think he should do, and we allow all these things to come into our life, and what happens? God still is good to us. You may sit here this morning and listen, every one of us in this auditorium are enjoying the blessings of God. God has been good to every one of us. Why is God good to us? Because the realization is this, every one of us in this auditorium, we don't deserve the goodness of God. The realization is every one of us, we have things in our life that should be appalling to God. And it is, but he's still good to us. There are some sitting here even today that our heart is full of bitterness, or our heart is full of anger, our heart is full of depression, our heart is full of wrong thoughts. We've allowed ourselves to go and end up places that we didn't think we'd ever be. Yet, God's good to us. Why? Why would he have pity on us? Because he loves us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you know that Christ died? Christ showed his love for us when we hated him. Did you know even in our sins, knowing what we were, knowing what we would become, knowing how we would treat God over and over and over again, yet he still gave himself for us because he loves us. John 3:16, everyone knows the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When you love someone, you can't help but give to that person. And God loves us. Jesus loves us. And he gave himself for us. He gave everything for us. God sent that gourd because he loved Jonah. Even though Jonah was rotten, even though he was bitter, even though he was angry, even though he had a loose tongue and was even ridiculing God, God loved him. God loves us this morning. God loves you this morning. What a wonderful thing. When I look at my life and I know who I am and what I've done, and to know that God loves me, even, you say, it was because you're a preacher. Nope, God loved me way before that. So it's just you're a Christian. Nope, God loved me before that. God loved me when I was the most wicked, vile person. And I don't care who on the face of this earth, and I don't care how rotten they may be, I don't care what sin they're involved in, God loves them. God loves them, and he's given everything. And the reason that you and I are enjoying the blessings that we have today is because God loves us. And the second reason, I believe, is because God was leading him. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. Look at that verse with me real quick. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. I believe that God had a gourd cover Jonah because he loved him, but also for this purpose. In Romans chapter 2 and in verse number 4, it says this. It says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know why God's good to us? You know why God shows us such mercy? You know why God had a gourd give a pouting, bitter prophet some shade? Do you all know why God did this? Because God loved Jonah, and God wanted Jonah to see and to be led back to him. If Jonah could have just seen and realized what God was doing, you know what Jonah should have done? When that gourd came over Jonah, you know what Jonah should have done? When he woke up that morning, and believe me, he knew it was a miracle. When he woke up that morning, and boy, the sun shines bright, and he looks up there, and then he looks up, and there's this large shade over him. A plant grew overnight. You know what he should have done? He should have bowed his knee right there and said, God, you're so good to me. I'm so sorry. I already ran from you one time. You delivered me from that great well. Here I am pouting and angry and cursing you. And here you are being good to me again. God, I am so sorry. God, forgive my bitterness. Forgive my anger. Forgive my loose tongue and what I've said. And God, I just pray that, Lord, you'd have mercy on me again. And you know what? Jonah could have got up and went on and done some great things. But instead, look at the Bible. I know you're in Romans, but in Jonah, he said he was happy for the gourd. He wasn't thankful to God. You know what instead he did? He said, what a nice gourd. This gourd is awesome. Not once did he lift up his head and say, thank you. If he would have just said, man, look what you're doing. And you know what? Every one of us today ought to pause. Thank you, God. You're so good to me. Thank you for sending your son for me. Thank you for my home. Thank you for the blessings I have. Thank you for my health. Thank you. And just praise him today. Because none of us deserve anything. But God is good. And why is God being so good? Because he loves you. Because he's leading you. He's trying to draw you to a place there of repentance. A place where we can say, God, I'm so sorry for my anger. I'm so sorry for my bitterness. I'm so sorry. And quit having a pity party. Quit being angry. And allow yourself to be drawn to God. You see, pity on a prophet. Now, if you can make your way back to Jonah, number two, you see, pity on a plant. Pity on a plant. Again, in Jonah chapter 4, verse number 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. He's just, boy, this gourd's awesome. But then in verse number 7, God prepared a worm. And the next night, when by the time Jonah woke up, that gourd is gone. The gourd is gone. And it says there, verse 7, but God prepared a worm, and the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun did beat upon his head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And then God speaks to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And what did he said, I do well to be angry. I have a right to be angry, God. I have a right to be upset, and I'll go to my grave dead, being angry and bitter. Verse number 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for thou hast had not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Isn't it funny? And everybody catch this. When God sent his blessing and the gourd came, Jonah was awful happy for the comfort and for the blessing. But when the gourd, he didn't once thank God for it. But when the gourd's gone, he immediately starts yelling at God. It's sad how all of us can do that. We enjoy the blessings of God day after day, year after year. God's good to us. We live through life not taking the time to praise him. We go year upon year with good health. I mean, we'll live 20 years going to work every day, taking vacations, driving our cars, hopping in our boats, playing golf, going on life. Then all of a sudden, we get a bad doctor report. We get mad at God. All of a sudden, All of a sudden, the car won't start. Why does God hate me? We do the same thing to God. We turn so quickly on God. And Jonah was so angry and bitter. And when he did not repent, when he did not say yes to God, when he still was just thankful for all of his comfort and all the things that he had, well, then God said, well, let's try this. And he turns on God. He says, how could you do this to me, God? And God says, why are you angry? You did nothing to bring this gourd. You didn't grow this gourd. God said, I grew this gourd. You didn't labor. You didn't plant the seed. But we do the same thing. Everything good in our life, friend, is from God. James says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above. It is God. We have so many blessings, and it's all because of God. If you're going to heaven today, it's because of God. It's not you. It's because of Christ who has saved you and the work that he did in your life. If you, whatever blessings and all of you have them, whatever they are that you're enjoying right now, it's because of God. You said, I did it. I worked for this. Who gave you your health? Who gave you your hands? Who gave you your mind? And it's amazing how quickly we can turn on God, and he did. And I think some important reminders are here as he gets mad at God. That number one, all of our possessions are temporary. Everything, all the stuff that we have, it does not last. People live for things. They love things, and they're wasting their life. There is in the Bible, a rich man who was had a relationship and knew this poor beggar named Lazarus. Lazarus was just full of sores and dying, had nothing, not a penny to his name, just wanted crumbs to eat every day, and that rich man wouldn't give it to him. And one night, both of them died. And that rich man, in all of his luxury and his feather pillow and his sumptuous feast, when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. He took nothing with him. All the riches, they've turned to dust. His beautiful home, it's gone. All of his riches is somebody else's. There's another story of a rich man who had so much stuff. The Bible tells this parable. Jesus does, how he had so much stuff. He said, I know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to tear down all of my barns, build new ones and bigger ones to hold all my stuff. I'll start on that tomorrow. Tonight, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be merry. When he laid down his head, God said, thou fool. Because all the possessions in the world, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but he lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This world is temporary. Are you following this morning? Temporary. You see, the possessions are temporary. Then you see this person's temper. Boy, he gets mad. He starts blaming God, Jonah does. When things are good, it's because of me. When things aren't going good, it's because of God. Now, that's simply stating it, but that's the way a whole lot of people live their lives. When things are good, man, I'm on top of things. When things are bad, why does God hate me? And we get upset at God. All of a sudden, everybody look at me, you lose your comforts, you lose your possessions, you lose your health, and we get mad at God. We begin to get angry. We begin to get bitter at God. And we get upset at him. Listen, things aren't going to matter in eternity. So you see, pity on a plant. He gets upset. Because his comforts are gone. You see pity on a prophet that God tries to reach him. Then you see pity on a people God looks at Jonah and says, Jonah, this gourd means nothing. You're upset because a plant died when there's an entire city of nearly a million people, and those souls are going to live for eternity somewhere. Jonah chapter 4, verse number 11, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? These are just the children. There are millions of people. Jonah, why are you getting upset for a plant when we're talking about souls? Friends, I'm thankful for all the things that God's given me, and so should you. I mean, we'll get in a car, and that car, for most of us, some of us, we're kind of worried about it, but it's going to start, right? And we'll get down our way, and we're all going to go probably eat lunch. Probably about half of you are going to go out to eat today. We're going to get something to eat. And we're going to, probably the majority of us, go home to a nice house. If it's a little warm, we'll crank up the air conditioner. We come to church, and we got some pews that are cushioned to sit on. Got lights and air conditioning. I know somebody's hot and somebody's freezing. That's the way it is in church all the time, all right? But generally speaking, we're comfortable. God's so good to us. But despite those blessings, those are just temporary things. God has saved your soul. Man, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you're on your way to heaven. What a wonderful thing. Brother Sweetland's been coming to church as long as I've been here. That man right there, you're on your way to heaven, Brother Sweetland. What a wonderful blessing to know you're going to heaven. Amen? What a blessing. Isn't it amazing that we can be saved and on our way to heaven? But it's amazing how the devil will try to use that to get us away from him. I've grown up in church. My grandpa was a pastor. Uncle then was a pastor. My daddy was pastor. I've grown up in church. I've seen people quit on God because someone sat in their seat at church. And I'm looking at you right now and telling you, that's ridiculous. I've seen people, because I've been in church now for 42 years, I've seen people quit church because someone parked in their parking spot. I've seen it. And most of you that's been in church a while, you've seen it too. I could tell you some ridiculous reasons why people have quit on God. One time, one person quit because the lady in front of them chewed gum. So they quit going to church. So, well, lady should have been chewing gum. Who cares? Who cares? Isn't it amazing how God will reach down with us in such mercy and save our soul and do a miracle in our life? And then all it takes is a gourd to make us quit. You're awful quiet because this is personal, right? It's easy. I could do it and you could do it. And the lesson of this story is this. Number one, even when we're rotten people, God loves us and is good to us and is trying to draw us back to him. Lesson number two is this. Stuff doesn't matter. We ought to do our best and be good stewards with what God has given us. But understand, you know, I remember my first car was a 1973 Chevy Impala. It was awesome. When I first got it, I thought it was a boat. I was embarrassed to drive it. I mean, it was huge. And when you hit the gas pedal, you smelled the gas burning and watched the gauge go down, right? I mean, it was just a big car, and all my friends had little Toyota Celicas with little spoilers on them. And I was just like, why do I have this giant car, right? And then one day I realized, because this guy in a Trans Am pulled up. Some kids don't even know what a Trans Am is, right? Guy in a Trans Am pulled up and said, he rolled down his window and he said, "Hey, does your mom know you have her car?" And that was embarrassing, right? I was like, yeah. He goes, "Let's see what it got," right? And the light turned green. I smoked him. That Impala had the biggest engine of any car I've ever had in my life, man. And that guy turned and goes, "Man, that's a hot car." And from that point on, that was my favorite car I've ever owned in my life, man. That was the coolest car ever, right? I mean, that car would just move. One day I was driving that car, and I was pushing it as hard as I could, and I beat someone else, which no one should ever do those kind of things. And then I got back, and I put it in park at my house, and every fluid in that car went everywhere. I don't know what I did to it, but it was bad. We had people look at it and say it was going to cost a lot of money. My dad sold it. Isn't that sad? Someday I'm going to get a 1973 blue Impala, all right? I will get one someday, but it's gone. Things come, things go. But my God has always been faithful. And He loves me. And don't let things pull you away from God. You know what life's all about? John, when we get to heaven, we will not compare bank accounts. When we get to heaven, we won't compare cars. When we get to heaven, we won't compare how big a house we lived in. It's all going to be about glorifying the one who gave himself for us. And the greatest way we can glorify him is by bringing souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the lesson Jonah forgot. And I want to encourage you today, number one, if you're not saved, I want you to understand the goodness of the Lord. And may the goodness of God draw you to repentance today, that even while you're a sinner, Christ loves you. He's good to you, and he wants, and he's trying his best so you might see his love for you, that you might come to him and say yes to God. I believe you died for me. I believe your son died on the cross for my sins, and accept him as your Savior. For believers today, the lesson's really simple. Things aren't going to matter in eternity. May we be consumed with souls and bringing them for the Lord Jesus Christ.